I didn't ask Dennis to lead that song. I wasn't sure, but he did that. That was good. Let me emphasize again, I did this Wednesday evening and before Bible class this morning. I want to emphasize and highlight this video that's going to be shown this evening instead of me preaching. So, don't
applaud. That's preacher, come.
Amen. Don't amen too much on that. Yep. But very powerful video. It's a man named Don Blackwell. We've used his video series over the past several years, many times on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night. But he was involved in an ATV accident several months ago. And now he's a paraplegic, and he's telling his story. And a very powerful lesson. He illustrates it. You're like, what am I going to do now? Where do I go from here? Here he's describing himself. I was a strong man. And he's preaching this lesson from a wheelchair about 3 weeks after he's been out of the hospital, just a week or so ago. And so this... I've already watched this at least, I know, 4 times, and I get something out of it every time I've watched it. I've made notes on the lesson, and these will be printed up as a handout for tonight, so you can follow along. But I really want to emphasize this. He talks about the suffering, but he says in his lesson, the pain that I feel will not compare to the torment of hell. And he preaches that. He said, we don't know what tomorrow holds. We really don't. He talks about he says, I would do anything to stop my pain. But when Jesus suffered for us, he could have stopped his pain and he didn't. Powerful lessons in just it's a sermon he's preaching, but from his experience, from that accident that left him as a paraplegic. He asked the question, he said, this accident was not caused by God. Because some people think everything is God's will. He said, no, it's not. No, it's not. He talks about the blessings of suffering. He thinks he's learned already just a few weeks into being a paraplegic. Teaches us to pray. And I emphasize this. He was very sincere in his prayer. God, just let me walk again. And God answered his prayer. He says, God said no. Said no. He says this experience has allowed Christians' lights to shine, to have a proper perspective on physical possessions. Brings out the best in people, humility. It causes us to be sympathetic to others. So a lot of blessings in, here he is, I'm a paraplegic. Brand new at this, in his chair. But there's lessons, and he shares that. Where do I go from here? He says, don't forget that you're a Christian. You're on your way to heaven. Be evangelistic. At any moment, one could be facing eternity, he says. At any moment. He says, in that moment, I became paraplegic. Could have taken my life. Any moment. So a valuable lesson. So that's tonight. And we'll be showing this video. And he mentioned tonight, if you would like a copy of this, copies can be made available. But I just encourage, I wish I could twist your arm, come by and pick you up, rent a bus. I mentioned during the Bible class hour, if you're tired, these pews up here are not used very often. You can lay down here while you watch the video. if you feel weak or weary, we have a recliner in the back room back there. We have nurses available. It's still daylight at 7 o'clock. I checked that out last night. If you're afraid to drive at night, but I just want to eliminate any excuse you have. I really do. I don't know what it's going to take to get you here, but please come back. If you're not used to coming on Sunday night, get used to it at least once. Come back tonight. 30 minutes. I sometimes preach longer than that on Sunday nights. So it's a blessing. You'll be blessed. A shorter sermon. Humor, but powerful, powerful lesson. So let me do this lesson that I have for you this morning. On you are the light of the world. And you can see in the notes, this doesn't exhaust the list of benefits or blessings of being a light or characteristics of light. But as Rick read to us this morning, he says, you are the light of the world. Now take it personally. Put the word I in there. I'm the light of the world. Don't start looking at your neighbor. Don't say, you should be a light. You know, and you should too. No, I am the light of the world. It's I, me, and mine. In the song that we sang, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You know, when I go to work, when I'm on the street, when I'm in the church, I'm going to let it shine. You know, when we were kids singing this song, but boy, let's stretch that light up high. I want to let it shine. All around the neighborhood was one of the verses. I'm going to let it shine all the time, all the time. There was a song in one of our other songbooks titled, You Are the Light of the World. And the hymn writer says, oh Christian, do not hide your light, for you are the light of the world. But keep it trimmed and burning bright, for you are the light of the world. The second stanza. Go show to all the path of right, for you are the light of the world. Go bring the straying back to light, for you are the light of the world. And the last stanza. Oh, do not let your light burn low, for you are the light of the world. But keep it bright and onward go, for you are the light of the world. And then the chorus, for you are the light of the world. For you are the light of the world. Then keep your lamps all burning bright, for you are the light of the world, we'd say. So I put in your notes, and by way of introduction, we recognize God is light. All the good qualities of light. God says, they didn't say God is a light. He is light. He's light. Jesus referred to himself as the light of the world. God's word is a lamp unto our feet, a light to our pathway. So everything that's above, he says he's given us the ability to be light, to shed that light, to illustrate it, to demonstrate it as we go. We are to be the light of the world. So number one in your notes, these are characteristics or qualities of light. So number one, I just put light shines not for its own sake, and I should have put only. We certainly want to shine. But we don't shine simply for our own, just for our own benefit. But we want to shine. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, it says, we don't preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, your bond servants for Jesus' sake. Oh, there's others that are involved. We shine, certainly. I want to continually be a light, but not just for me. There's others. There's others. The verse continues, it's God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light. See, when we shine, certainly I want to make sure I'm a light, but don't just hoard it. Don't just keep it. Don't say, oh, thank you, God, that I'm light. No. It's for the benefit of others. Others. It's not for our own sake. Paul told Timothy, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in so doing you'll save both yourself,
yeah,
and those who hear you. See? Light. Yes, I want to save myself, but I want to benefit others at the same time. Paul said, I've tried to use all means to save some. And then the text itself, you're the light of the world. You're the light. Number two, light does not call attention to itself. Illustration. Came into the auditorium, or when the first person was here, you know, they turn these lights on. Now these lights are not designed to really call attention to themselves. Well, some lights are, I guess. They want you to look at the light. When we turn these lights on, I don't think you did. I didn't see anybody. I was trying to look. You didn't stop and gawk at the lights. Ooh. Oh, those are nice tube lights. You don't see fluorescents like those very often. Now, you didn't stop and gawk at the light. They don't shine to become a light show. We, you know, when we see lights on the freeway and on the freeway signs, you know, I don't pull over and look at, oh, those are nice lights. I read the message that the lights lit up from. That little light shone for my benefit. Gave me directions. Stay in that lane. Slow down. They shine. They don't call attention to themselves. Even the sun does not shine for us to look at it. We're warned against it. It shines to enable us to see. To aid, a lot of benefits, to aid growth, provide heat, especially in Phoenix. Provides heat. Our shining light is to draw attention to God. It's in the text. That they may see your good works, yeah, but glorify your Father in heaven. Our light shines to draw others past us and see God. Some disciples came to Philip when they were preaching. They said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And that's one of the purposes in our preaching, is to draw people to the Christ. Look past the speaker and listen to the content of the message. Not drawing you to me. I'm giving you a message of heavenly importance that hopefully takes you to the cross or to the Christ or to God. I want my light shining in a sermon like this to lead you past this pulpit. That's its design when light shines. And when that light shines in the pulpit, I want you to see light. The light of God and the light of Jesus and the light of His Word guides us. The Pharisees didn't do that. They shone their light so people would see them. In Matthew 6, verse 1, Jesus said, "Take heed that you do not do," don't do this, "your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them." Oh. So they were shining a charitable deed light. You know, hey, look at me. Watch me. Jesus said, don't do that. Otherwise, the verse continues, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Jesus gives a second illustration in verse 5 of Matthew chapter 6. When you pray, you shall not be. When you pray. Praying's a good thing. Oh, but don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray. But they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the street that they may be seen of men. Assuredly, Jesus said, I say to you, they have their reward. So if you want your light to shine to be seen of men, that's certainly a possibility. But Jesus has twice in this illustration, let your light shine, that people may see what you're doing or hear what you're saying. But be drawn to the Father. Be drawn past you. The light doesn't call attention to itself. Number 3, shining light costs. You know, understand that when you get your SDG&E bill. Shining light costs. The candle glows, but that candlestick gets shorter. The lamp shines, but the oil supply lowers. We turn on our iPhones and the battery begins to use energy. So if we're to be the light of the world, which we are to be, it's going to cost. If letting your light shine hasn't cost you, something's wrong. If it hasn't cost you your time, of course it has this morning as you're here. You set aside time on the Lord's Day to come and enjoy friendship and fellowship and as a congregation give our worship to God. It's already cost you time. Sometimes it might, don't just let your light shine here in the confines of this building. Your light needs to shine. Remember the song was saying, all around the neighborhood. When I go to work, when I'm at play or recreation, we need to let our light shine. And it's going to cost our time, our talent, our treasure, our energy. It's going to cost. And you need to know that and have that expectation. Otherwise, you'll be discouraged in letting your light shine. Oh, I knew all the time, if I show my light, it's going to cost me. That's right. Have your eyes open to that. Pre-think that situation. This is going to cost me. Cost God a son. Cost. Number four, light shines openly with or without partiality, with or no respect of persons. Put in your notes. These auditorium lights are shining without regard to the quality of the audience. No, don't take it personally. There's none righteous, no, not one. We're all guilty as charged. But these lights, they're not saying one to another, oh, look who's here, don't shine. So we're not to shine just in the confines of this building. Let your light shine not just in an area where you feel safe. Don't just let your light shine where it's easy. Don't just let your light shine only when we're among ourselves. When we have all of this encouragement to let your light shine. Oh, no problem here. No difficulty letting my light shine right now. Remember the words of the song again. I'm going to let it shine. The song said, Christian, do not hide your light. You're the light of the world. Number five, but put light will be seen. If it's not seen, it means it's covered. You don't light, the illustration Jesus gives, you don't light a lamp and put it under a basket. Light's to be seen. And your light will be seen. It will be visible to others if it's covered up. Light in the text that was read to us is designed to give light to all that are in the house. And even the tiniest light is seen from a great distance. You know, at our stadiums, many times you might be after the right before a fireworks display or something like that. They turn the lights out in the stadium and the people either hold up their iPhones, or years ago they would hold up lighters or matches, you know, because they knew that was coming. I saw that yesterday at on television, just had me going through in between quarters of the University of Georgia football game. Between the third and the fourth quarter, they turned out the lights in the stadium, and all everyone held up their phone. And you can see even the tiniest light all the way across the stadium. The tiniest light is visible. You may think, well, my light's not very large. I don't have a lot of talent. Oh, the tiniest light we see. Let your light shine. Let it shine. Number six, and when light drives away darkness. And that's the purpose of turning on the lights. Dispel the darkness. You know, typically, I think many times there might be some exceptions to the rule, but when people know that you're a Christian, they clean up in your presence. I know sometimes a couple of the guys here play golf. Sometimes if there's a maybe three of us or whoever it is, and Ranger joins the group, make four in the group. And that stranger may not play very well, and every time he hits a bad shot, boy, the words fly. In about the third or the fourth hole, the conversation starts. Oh, by the way, where do you work, or what do you do? If I'm in the group, well, I'm a preacher. Oh. Pardon my French. And you never hear a cuss word the rest of the game. Ah. Light drives away darkness. Remember years ago, Jim was back here doing something. Whoever was in the foyer thought there wasn't anybody back here, so he turned out the lights. And all of a sudden you hear, turn the lights out. Jim's trying to, he didn't yell, turn the lights out. It's hard to walk in darkness. He didn't hurt himself. But we did pick him up, what, twice? We turned the lights back on, and then he could walk a whole lot easier. But you could just see him fumble through the darkness. Lights designed to dispel darkness. Make it easier for others to walk correctly or rightly by letting your light shine. Just a couple things in closing. Light's awakening, too. It's awakening. The morning light awakens the birds and the roosters, awakens us. Someone striving to sleep in the daytime, if they have a night job, you know, they darken those windows. Because light is awakening. The light of the gospel is designed to wake up those who are spiritually asleep. When we let our light shine, one purpose or one design of that light is to wake up other people. In Ephesians 5, verse 8, you were once darkness, but now you're the light in the Lord. To walk as children of light. Walk. In verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 5, the same chapter, he says, therefore he says, awake, you who sleep. Christian, don't let your light burn low. I think last thing I said, light is cheering. You know, as children, they always want a nightlight. Just a little light, just a little bit. And it's comforting. So we as God's people need to let our light shine because it's cheer-bringing. It's comforting. It's offering that. Jesus said in John 16, verse 13, these things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. The light of the world. Be of good cheer, he says. Be of good cheer. Let your light shine. Always when we assemble for worship, at the close of the lesson, we sing a song of encouragement. A song of invitation, a song of exhortation, if you will. It's an opportunity for those who are not Christians to become one. To obey the gospel, the good news message. It's a time if you need to ask for prayers for something in your life, that while we're here to share with you in that decision, we can certainly accomplish that. So we sing a song of encouragement or invitation to give you time to reflect on your relationship with God or to think about if there's something you'd like for us to pray with you about. If you're not a Christian, there's a simple plan or a formula. There's steps to be taken. Number one, you'll need to hear the good news message. Christianity is a taught religion. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy laden. Learn of me. Learn. Paul asked the question in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how can they believe in him whom they've not heard? You have to hear that God so loved the world. He gave a son. Then second, you'll need to believe that message. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, for faith For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. And this list that I'm giving you is on the back of your bulletin. Then number three, you'll need to repent because Jesus said it also. In Luke chapter 3, 13, verses 3 and 5, except you repent, you'll perish. And I don't want to perish. And then you'll want to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. That's what the Ethiopian did when Philip preached unto him Jesus. He says, here's water. What hinders me or stops me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe, you may. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip says, stop. King James says, he commanded the chariot to stand still. Stop the chariot. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the Ethiopian. And then number five, Philip baptized him. Came up out of the water, both of them did. The Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. Salvation is always an occasion of joy. Always. The Philippian jailer rejoiced. The lost sheep was found. The people called together, they rejoice. The lost coin is found, they rejoice. Rejoice, Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. So that's the invitation we extend at the close of each lesson. And so we sing this song to give you time to reflect on that invitation that's given. If you need to respond, or if that's your desire, if that's your resolve to do so this morning, just simply come and have a seat beside me while we're singing this song.